ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 15, Text 163, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Unlike Sanskrit, Bengali is not fully phonetical, so please listen as well as looking at the board, because the pronunciation of most of the words is not as you might expect it to be. Jiber pap loyamui karun narak bhog Shakal jibe prabhu guchhao Shakal jibe prabhu guchhao bhavarog. Translation. This is spoken by Vasudev Datta, a great devotee of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudev Datta Thakur and Sri Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced even when compared with Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions, but Vasudev Datta is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So the comparative position of Vasudev Datta is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudev Datta Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vasudev Datta knew very well that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original personality of Godhead, transcendence itself above the material conception of illusion and maya. Lord Jesus Christ certainly finished the sinful reactions of his followers by his mercy, but that does not mean he completely delivered them from the pangs of material existence. A person may be relieved from sins once, but it is a practice among Christians to confess sins and yet commit them again. By getting freed from sins and again engaging in them, one cannot attain freedom from the pangs of material existence. A diseased person may go to a physician for relief, but after he leaves the hospital, he may again be infected due to his unclean habits. Thus material existence continues. Srila Vasudev Datta wanted to completely relieve the conditioned souls from material existence so that they would no longer have an opportunity to commit sinful acts. This is the significant difference between Srila Vasudev Datta and Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great offense to receive pardon for sins and then commit the same sins again. Such an offense is more dangerous than the sinful activity itself. Vasudev Datta was so liberal that he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to transfer all offensive activity upon him so that the conditioned souls would be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. This prayer was certainly without duplicity. Vasudev Datta's example is unique, not only within this world, but within the universe. It is beyond the conception of fruitive actors or the speculations of mundane philosophers. Due to being illusioned by the external energy and due to a poor fund of knowledge, people tend to envy one another. Because of this, they are entangled in fruitive activity, and they try to escape this fruitive activity by mental speculation. Consequently, neither karmis nor jnanis are purified. In the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhant Thakur, they are kukarmis and kujnanis, bad fruitive actors and bad speculators. The Mayavadis and karmis should therefore turn their attention to the magnanimous Vasudev Datta, who wanted to suffer for others in a hellish condition. No one should consider Vasudev Datta a mundane philanthropist or welfare worker, nor was he interested in merging into the Brahman effulgence or in gaining material honor or reputation. He was far, far above philanthropists, philosophers, and fruitive actors. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudev Datta. As the perfect Vaishnav, he was paradukhadukhi, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such a great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified and all conditioned souls are also glorified. As Narottam Das Thakur confirms, Vasudev Datta is the ideal devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaurangera Shongi Gone Nitya Siddha Kari Mane Shejai Brajendra Shutapash. One who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee engaging in the deliverance of the total population is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha. Such a personality factually represents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his heart is always filled with compassion for all conditioned souls. I particularly chose to speak on this verse and purport due to, or in response to, a question that I received via email, Here's the question. Recently, I have been wondering whether or not Krishna consciousness is the only means by which conditioned souls can return to their constitutional position with the Supreme Lord. As my study of and practice within Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness has progressed, I have started seeing aspects of bhakti, devotion unto God, within other religions such as the Abrahamic faiths. If possible, please clarify whether or not devout persons of other religions can revive their lost relationship with God, Sri Krishna, outside of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Also, I would like to confess that I occasionally pray to saintly personalities in the Christian faith, such as Lord Christ, Saint Mary, and Saint Francis of Assisi. Is praying to exalted individuals outside of the Gaudiya lineage and asking for their aid in my sadhana, spiritual practice forbidden for devotees? I was raised in a Catholic background. Any Protestant backgrounds? Yeah. It's all right, we're not going to call the IRA. Just Anyone? No? Or catty cats. So. Okay. Your father. So Saint Mary, does that mean in the Catholic faith they refer to as Mary, the Mother of God? I see. Anyone from the Orthodox tradition? No. Yeah, take this. All right, well, the answer lies in this. Much of the answer can be deduced from this purport. The whole conception of God consciousness is so much more developed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings than anything else. We're not saying that there isn't any God consciousness in any other traditions. just like I'm not much aware of Judaism, but it definitely in Islam and Christianity, as the various branches of these traditions have been taught and practiced through the centuries, a very prominent aspect of that is the idea that if you follow this, you get saved and you go to heaven, and if you don't, you go to hell, which means, in their conception, most people go to hell. The Catholics think the Protestants go to hell, and the Protestants think the Catholics go to hell. Although there's a new pope who thinks that even atheists are good. So, it's a bit difficult to understand how the pope is infallible and different popes say completely different things. I mean, the previous pope was really down on Buddhism. But according to the present pope, I guess he was a hippie, everything is great, everything is wonderful, everything is nice. Love everyone. Love and peace. If you go to San Francisco, be sure to put some flowers in your hair. Oh, and remember to cross yourself time to time also. So that's the idea. And actually, even Thomas Aquinas, who was one of the great theologians of the Catholic Church, he, because they don't really have any information about what you do in heaven, so he speculated that the main pleasure is looking down at the people in hell and taking pleasure in their suffering. Paradukasuki, taking pleasure in others' distress. Whereas here, Vasudevdatta is described as paradukaduki. It's a completely different conception. Instead of the idea that, well, everyone will be happy that we're saved from hell and we'll take pleasure in seeing everyone else go to hell and save yourself, the idea to save everyone. So even compared with Lord Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation of Jesus Christ, but just relatively speaking, his offering was to save his followers, whereas Vasudevdatta's offering is to save everyone. About the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one great Vaishnav poet has said, Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. Every one of them is powerful enough to save the whole universe. So it's quite understandable if someone's coming from a Christian tradition or Islamic tradition and they take to Krishna consciousness, they become attracted to Krishna consciousness, that they may retain some affinity for that tradition. And although in Islam, you're not supposed to be orthodox Islam, you're not supposed to pray to anyone except Allah, although there are sub-traditions who also give importance to various gurus, practically like gurus. They have they won't call it worship, but they practically have worship of departed saints. But especially in Catholicism, there's a lot of prayer to the different saints. And the Mary cult is practically more than the Jesus cult in Catholicism. Durga worship. One of the names of Durga is Miriam. And so it comes out as Mary also. Anyway, that worship, it comes out very similar to worship of demigods, just like there are different patron saints. The patron saints of carpenters is Joseph, right, the father? Anyone remember? The patron saint of travelers is Saint Christopher. I don't remember anymore. The patron saint of England is Saint George. Did he exist? We don't know or not, because he killed a dragon and there are no more dragons. You're not supposed to believe in dragons anymore, because scientists say there weren't any dragons. So Saint George killed a dragon, so he didn't exist. It all becomes quite complex. Francis of Assisi is known as one of the great saints in the Catholic tradition, saved the Catholic Church from descent into total materialism. He was actually one of the more saintly of the saints. They weren't all that saintly. So it's natural if people who are raised in such traditions and who take to Krishna consciousness feel affinity for the better aspects of Christianity or whatever. But if we examine, as here Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has examined, the whole conception of God consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers gave is far more exalted. Just like among Christians, many of them emphasize the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you, spoken by Jesus, so we're told. And do unto others as they would do unto you. And as much, what is that? As much as you help others, as much you're helping me, or something like this. A call to worldly philanthropy. And this is seen as the apex of Christianity among those who believe in the path of works, that you should do good for others, open hospitals, open schools. And in the modern age, Mother Teresa of Calcutta is considered the most saintly person of the 20th century for her work with lepers and the poor people of Calcutta. Although in the Vedic conception, that's considered to be just ordinary human behavior. It's not particularly the sign of a saintly person. This emphasis on bodily welfare work as being spiritual, it actually diverts from what is actually spiritual. And people think that, well, to feed the poor and open hospitals and schools. Actually, this opening schools business is a real farce, because the schools are just meant to train people how to become a compliant member of a system which exploits them. But they also teaches them that it's good for you to get an education. We're actually helping you. We're actually just training them to become exploited. Shudras, as Srila Prabhupada noted, the schools simply produce shudras, people who run looking for a job. Just like a few days ago, I filled up a form for visa application form for India, so that I had to give my employer's address. There was no conception that you might be self-employed, for instance. But it's just presumed that you are an employee, because that's the modern age. Kalo, Shudra, Sambhava, everyone's a Shudra in Kali Yuga. Everyone's born as a Shudra in Kali Yuga. So this emphasis on bodily welfare work as being spiritual, it's so wonderful, but it actually obscures what is real spiritual life. Real spiritual life begins with the understanding that we're not these bodies, and that we have to get free from the cycle of birth and death. This material world is suffering, but bodily welfare work, especially if it's done in the name of God, as if the best thing we could possibly do is heal someone's bodily condition, that just panders to the notion that the Christian misconception that this world was actually made for us to enjoy. God made this world for us to enjoy. And that's why people become atheists. They say there's so much suffering in the world, that means there can't be any God. Because why would God make it so bad? Completely ignorance of everything. The whole worldview is completely based on ignorance. And then we get the animals are also created by God, and woo, wonderful, we can kill them. God gave them to us so we can torture them and exploit them and kill them. And this humanistic idea is just developed from that. Humanists are so busy improving the human condition. Well, what about the condition of the animals? They want to save the humans from suffering. And what about the animals? And they say, well, there's no need to believe in God. What's all this God business? You don't need God. You can be good to others without believing in God. So if we just say that God is to make us good to others, we say, oh, I don't need God. Either scientifically speaking, you don't need God because we didn't find any God in our test tubes or our microscopes or our telescopes or our equations. We didn't find any God anywhere. And to be good, you don't need God. In fact, many will say that religion makes you worse. If you're going to be a jerk, a maha rascal, then it's better just to do it anyway. Why invoke God? That's why I say Hitler was better than George Bush, because Hitler said, we're a bunch of jerks. I won't say in front of the deities, I usually use a worse word. And so we're just going to invade all your countries and to hell with you. And George Bush said, Christian, humanitarianism, democracy, and we're going to invade your country just to help you. Women's liberation, poor women of Afghanistan, they have to go around in burqas, so drop a few bombs on their head, that'll help them out. American bombs. And we'll give you McDonald's also, just to give you the gifts of Western civilization. So the whole worldview that has come out from this is sankuchita, this constricted. Without any, there's not to condemn Jesus Christ, who is recorded as saying, of course, we don't really know what he said at all, because it's all just depending on what's in what they call the Bible. When they say, I believe in the Bible, you can ask them which Bible, because there are so many different editions of the Bible. The Catholics have their Bible, and Protestants have their, and the Syrian church has their, and Russian Orthodox church. They all have different Bibles with different books and all this. So, according to what Jesus said, there are many things I have to teach you, but you are not ready to hear. Whereas in Gita, Krishna says, "Gyanam, what is that? Gyanam, Gyana Vigyana Sahitam Yajgatve Moksha Se Shubhat." I am just not remembering the verse now, but the point is that Yajgatvane Habuyo Nyajgatav Yamavashishyate. That's the point. Yeah. Krishna says, I will now describe to you everything phenomenal and numinous, by knowing which nothing shall remain to be known. Everything is explained. Yomameva Samurho Janati Purushottamam Sasarva Vidbhajate Mam Sarva Bhavena Bharata. One who knows, Krishna says at the end of the 15th chapter, having explained that there is the material world, the conditioned souls, the liberated souls, and himself above all of these, Krishna says, one who knows me as the supreme Lord above all of these, the supreme person above all of this, he knows everything. And the result is that he engages in my devotional service. So, this is a very important statement in comparative religion. Knowing Krishna, we engage in his service. Aham sarvasya prabhavam atas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha buddha bhava samanditaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. Those who know this, they engage in my devotional service and worship me with feeling, with all their heart. So this is devotion, surrender based on knowledge. Whereas the Christian conception, and actually in most of Hinduism also, is it's not how can I serve God or love God, but what can God do for me? Which God is the best? What he can do for you? I tried Krishna and Shiva and then, but Sai Baba worked for me. Or none of these Hindu gods work. Try Jesus. That's a common one in India nowadays. A lot of Christian conversion going on. Jesus works. We'll give you hospitals and schools and free meals, free chicken on Sunday if you come to the church. So it works. See, you get a better life. Be a Christian and you'll get a better life. But the whole conception is constricted to the understanding that we shall be happy in this world and religion is to make us happy in this world. Whereas Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna because Arjuna was bewildered by this idea. Arjuna had this idea that we'll follow religion and in this way we'll be happy in this world. And Krishna said, you're just a complete nonsense. You're just a fool. You're not going anywhere. You think you're very good and you'll go to heaven by speaking all these things. You're not going to go to heaven. Anarya jushtam aswargyam. It's not fitting for you. It won't take you to heaven. And Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha. This is all suffering, birth, death, old age and disease. So, we're not going to say don't meditate upon or pray to Jesus or Saint Francis. Mary, Virgin Mary, supposed to be virgin, whatever. Or Saint Mary is a more nebulous figure because there's actually not, there's nothing, practically, there's very little information about her in the New Testament or anywhere. It's just, she's more of a, more, her reputation came later with her all her miracles at Lourdes and Fatima and Nok also. She does miracles over there too. If you can't afford to go to Lourdes, you can go to she does healing over there too, is it? There are two places where she manifests. You never heard of that? In Ireland, yeah, there's in the west of Ireland, there's a place you can go and pray to Mary. But there's really not much information. What I understand, there's not much information about her in the Bible at all, except that her husband was pretty upset to find that she was pregnant. But then he got reassured that, don't worry, it's an immaculate conception. Like Kunti, she had an immaculate conception before Mary. So, my understanding, this whole Mary cult, it's the worship of any goddess in any culture, it's all derived from Durga. all expansions of Durga Shakti, Mother, the Mother Goddess. So you can pray like that, but then as we become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can, one thing is that we'll come to appreciate, we don't want to dogmatically hammer it down anyone's throat that our Vasudev Datta is better than your Jesus. We don't want to have parades. Saying that we're better than you, but as you come to understand it, then not that you reject Jesus, but you can understand that his contribution was tremendous, no doubt, but the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers is even far, far greater. That doesn't denigrate or reduce the contributions of Jesus, but we can actually be so much more benefited by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another point is that it's similar to worship of demigods, in as much as one reason we also don't encourage that. We respect demigods, but we don't encourage the worship of demigods, is that the whole culture that goes with it and the people who follow that, the consciousness of the worshippers of demigods is materialistic. And associating with such people is not conducive to developing pure devotional service, because they're interested in material boons. They may be pious, religious, moral people, but they're not interested in, nor do they have any conception of pure devotional service, surrender to Krishna. So that's true with demigod worshippers and with Christians also. They might be nice, pious, religious people, but they have no conception of pure devotional service. And in most of Christianity, they take for granted that it's quite normal to do things that in Vaishnava understanding are actually complete obstacles to spiritual advancement, especially meat eating, taking alcohol. And in much of Christianity, it's become accepted some other sinful activities. Contraception, divorce, and remarriage, all these things. Of course, within ISKCON, we don't talk about that much these days either, so maybe. But theologically, it would be very difficult to establish that it's acceptable, even though socially we might just turn the proverbial blind eye. So, is Krishna consciousness the only way? Do the followers of Jesus... Well, Srila Prabhupada was asked that once. Where do the followers of Jesus go? And Srila Prabhupada said, they go to where Jesus is. Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram tang tame vaite kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. What we contemplate on throughout life, that becomes the subject of our remembrance at the time of death, and that shapes our future life. So if we're actually thinking of Jesus, we'll go where Jesus is. And where's Jesus? Well, we'll see. We don't know. They say he's at the right-hand side of God. That's a majestic understanding of God. But it seems more that actually Christianity is more focused on God as the creator of this world. So maybe they're aiming at best at Lord Brahma. There's no conception of him as the supreme enjoyer in the transcendent world. So they may go to Jesus. They may go. if they actually follow him. But Srila Prabhupada, he often said that Christians, they don't follow Jesus. So he said it's very difficult to find out a real Christian because they don't follow Jesus. They have a whole theology invented that they call Christianity. But what relationship has got to Christ, that is questionable. Jesus, he taught to love God. That's the first commandment of Moses, to love God with all thy heart. So that's what's being propagated in this movement. Manmala Bhavavad Bhakto, always think of me, become my devotee. Where would if Jesus came today, where would he go? Would he go to Rome and sit in the Vatican? Would he come to the Kirtan? I think he'd be more likely to join the Kirtan of the devotees. He wasn't a materialistic person, from what we know of him. He sacrificed everything for the sake of trying to give God consciousness to not a very receptive preaching field. Some people followed him. He probably wouldn't be welcomed in the Christian world because he had this whole business of just stealing people away from their families. Right? He just saw some people with their boats, fishermen, and said, okay, drop your nets and come and follow me. And, well, what about our families? Don't worry about that, just come. Wouldn't be much appreciated. He was a revolutionary. So, what was the question? Let's get back to it. See if I can answer that. Is it the only means by which they can return? Krishna consciousness is the only means by which conditioned souls can return to their constitutional position with the Supreme Lord. Because there's no understanding of our constitutional position in relation to the Supreme Lord. If there's no understanding of that, then how can we cultivate that? If there's only a very vague idea who the Supreme Lord is, then our constitutional position of loving service, we can't revive it because we don't know who he is or what we're supposed to do in relationship with him. Oh, there are so many problems with Christianity. They mistake Jesus as God. And they say that he's God and that he came and he died. They killed God. God was dead for 3 days. And the whole idea that God has to suffer. This one priest came to see Srila Prabhupada, and the priest said to Srila Prabhupada that we've now understood that Jesus, he came to God suffering for the sake of humanity. And Prabhupada said, that is rascaldom. He told him right on his face, this is completely rascal idea. The idea that God suffers, it's a completely demoniac idea. If he wants, he can just clear your sins. As Vasudev Datta here, he's praying that all the sins of the universe will come on my head. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he replied, he told Vasudev Datta, whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants because he has no duty other than to fulfill the desire of his devotee. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered even without your undergoing the tribulations of sinful activity. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? So it's not that God himself or anyone else has to suffer for the sinful reactions of others. Krishna can just wipe it out. If you say that God or anyone else has to suffer for the sinful reaction of others, then that means that the Karma Mimamsa philosophy is correct, that God is under the rules of material nature. So the whole theology that has grown up around Christianity, because Jesus himself, from what we know of him, of course some people doubt that he even existed, but if we accept that he did exist, then from what we know of him, he didn't speak much philosophy. And anyway, speaking to very simple and what we see were actually very uncultured people, you don't speak much philosophy. They didn't have much understanding, so he couldn't give them much understanding. So whatever theology has come up, it came up after the departure of Jesus, and much of it was what's called Christian theology is an amalgam of ideas extracted mostly from Jesus, not much from the Old Testament, which is like a record of some tribe and its gods and its God and its worship, but the Greek philosophers, who weren't particularly theistic or atheistic, a mixed bunch themselves, plus some various speculations, such as Saint Augustine. He not only denied animal souls, but women also. So women didn't get souls till later. Good luck for you. You're now a full spiritual being, despite being a woman. One of the popes decided that women could have souls, and because what the pope says is infallible, then all of a sudden they got souls. So it's very weak. Lot of errors. That's why Siddhanta Balaya Chitena Karoha Alash Yaha Hoite Krishna Lage Sudhiramanosh. One should not be lazy in the matter of understanding philosophy, philosophical conclusions, because by doing so one's mind becomes strongly attached to Krishna. I was just seeing some Janmashtami, one lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave 1 year on Janmashtami, and he said he was emphasizing the importance of understanding Krishna philosophically. And not to, even though it's Krishna's birthday, anniversary of his appearance in this world, we shouldn't be, Srila Prabhupada said, we shouldn't be just interested in hearing the pastimes, we should understand the philosophy behind it also. So definitely, having said all this, it's not like a total denigration. I mean, there is definitely something there. There is definitely something in. There is God consciousness. Francis of Assisi, who is mentioned here, he was a God conscious person. When Srila Prabhupada visited a Franciscan seminary near Melbourne in Australia, Melbourne, as they say down there, at the end, he was asked, "What do you think of Saint Francis?" One of the seminarians asked him. And Srila Prabhupada, he asked, what are his teachings? And the person replied, well, he said that Francis taught to see all living beings as, I can't remember exactly what he said, as parts of God, and we should refer to the animals as brother bird and sister moon and something like this. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is first-class God consciousness. He accepted that. And that's actually the description of first-class God consciousness as given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Pashed Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhuteshu Bhagavat Yatman Esha Bhagavatotama. The topmost devotee is distinguished from the lower level and the middle level is one who sees the presence of God in every living being. Not that he sees every living being as God, but that he sees the presence of God in every living being. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't deny that. And we would be foolish to do so also, to deny that there is any, to deny the presence of God consciousness in these traditions. There are people who are very God conscious within their own restricted understanding, within the various traditions. There have been saintly people, and maybe are now also. But the full manifestation of God consciousness can come when there is full knowledge of God, because full manifestation of God consciousness means to pure love of God, and you can't love someone who you don't know or you have serious misconceptions about. And so, are Vaishnavas, are they the only ones? Well, Srila Prabhupada did say that Christianity and Islam, they're also Vaishnavism. But those who give actual knowledge of God, as given in the Vedic literature, they can, they're in a much better position to cultivate actual God consciousness. And not only the Gaudiya tradition, there are other bona fide Vaishnav sampradayas also. So yes, as Bhakta Seku has written, he says, I started seeing aspects of bhakti within other religions such as the Abrahamic faiths. Yeah, there are aspects there, no doubt. But there are some serious misconceptions also. So, any question about this? This is an in-house discussion. We wouldn't want to go, we wouldn't go in the church and start directly telling them that you don't know what you're talking about. Maybe indirectly. Maybe. But this is, at least for our understanding, we should know that there are serious misconceptions within this Christian tradition. Yeah. If someone is a real Christian. Well, that's what Srila Prabhupada said. He said, I didn't see any real Christian who's actually following Jesus. Prabhupada actually said that. But if someone is actually following Jesus, if they're actually following Jesus in the modern world, they should be attracted to this Krishna consciousness movement. Because what Jesus spoke of vaguely, Srila Prabhupada spoke of explicitly. In the time and place that Jesus spoke, he didn't find it was the right place to give that knowledge. Or he may himself have not had it to that extent. But in the present atmosphere, if we're actually interested in spiritual knowledge, then we should come here. In the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's more knowledge of God than in all the Bible and Quran put together. Really? Think about it. What information is there of God in the Bible? There's a little bit at the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, which is, it's not very clear what it means, but you can kind of work it out. Krishna also says in Gita that Sarva Bhutana, and I don't remember now, this, I'm the beginning, middle, and end of all things. No, I'm trying to remember, but I can't. The Sanskrit. What else? What other information that we find him interacting with others? He appears as a burning bush to Moses. before that he granted Abraham the gift of a child, even though his wife was past the age of having children. And then he told Abraham to sacrifice that child. So there's a little bit of information. It's a bit gory, all this stuff. Sacrificing your son. Why we're in this world is, that's also very problematic theology. That why is there suffering in the world? Because Adam and Eve ate a forbidden fruit, which is often represented as an apple, although it's not specifically stated. A snake induced Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. And as a result, we're all suffering now. Although why I should suffer for something that a distant forefather of mine did, it's not really explained. So a lot of problems with it. I mean, in many ways we can sympathize with the atheists, because if they look at theology and see what it is, it might seem more intelligent to be an atheist. Sympathy for the devil. That's another thing. They made up this devil idea. What is this devil? Competitor to God. God and Satan are struggling, and God's supposed to win. Although if you look around the world, it looks like he's on top most of the time. It's very weak, very poor. Whereas in the Vaishnav teachings, which are derived from, especially from Gita, Bhagavatam, Vedanta, we have Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, scientific knowledge of the whole phenomenon of God. The very term Bhagavan, it has a meaning. It's not just some term, God, some arbitrary term, but it has a specific meaning. One who is complete in all opulences. So it's far more developed, and the whole understanding of surrender to him, and in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, the specialty is the whole understanding of bhakti ras up to the highest level. So it is really, I mean, speaking neutrally, we can say that it's philosophically far more developed. Far, far more developed. And problems, what are theological problems in Christianity? That, like, one of their main theological problems is the problem of evil. But we don't have that in Vaishnava understanding. You know, that is the problem of evil. Why is there evil in the world? If God is all good, then why do bad things happen? And that's understood, that Krishna Bahimo Koya Bhogavan Chakore. We chose it. It's not that because Adam ate a fruit at the bidding of his wife, who was induced to do so by a snake, talking snake. But we ourselves have chosen, it's our choice. We are all individually responsible. Purusha Sukha Dukhanam. We're all individually responsible for our position. It's our own individual choice, which we can rectify at any time. So it's a much more intelligent approach. Yeah, you had something to ask? No. Yeah.
Make human beings, as they were at that time, half human,
To prepare the ground, it could be seen like that, to help the people at that time to become more God conscious. And we do see that people in Christian countries, they have some conception of God, which is, when you go to Buddhist countries, and you can see it's much more difficult preaching there. I was in Thailand for some time. And there's not even a word for God in the Thai language. The vague conception that is implied in the English word God, they don't have any such word. They have word for gods, like Indra Dev. In Thai is Pratin, and Sri Krishna is Pakasana. So they have words for gods, just like demigods, but they don't have any conception of a supreme being. So if there's not even any conception, it's very difficult to bring them to that. And you can see in countries where Buddhism is prominent, it's very difficult to make devotees. Japan's another instance. In China, there are many people become devotees, but then in China, they don't have any, due to the Mao Zedong and company, they don't have any religion at all. They're like blank slates. Neither for or against. Or another problem in Thailand is that all the words that we might use, Sanskrit words, they're already reappropriated in Buddhism with their own misunderstanding. So even among Hindus, when we're using different, I mean, just like anywhere, if you say God, people say, does God exist? First of all, you have to ascertain, what do you mean by God? Just like some scientists will say, yeah, well, I believe in God. God means everything, the whole universe. But that's not God, that's matter. So if you say, oh, this scientist said he believes in God. But they're not, they're just materialists. There was a debate between Father Copplestone and Bertrand Russell, which came on the BBC radio. This was years ago when Bertrand Russell was still alive. Great atheist. So first of all, the Father Copplestone, very Jesuit priest, very intelligently established, what do we mean by the God that I believe in and you don't? What? So first of all, God means a supreme person, and Bertrand Russell, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that definition. So even if you're arguing among, you may be arguing with impersonalists, but they'll use the same words, they'll use in different way. Shankaracharya speaks of Ishvara, but his concept, Ishvara means God, one of the terms, but his conception of Ishvara is quite different to that of the Vaishnavas. So it becomes very difficult. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to make a dictionary. What do we mean by the words that we're using? Because each word, there's a philosophical understanding behind it. Especially when we use words like spirit, matter, God, soul, devotion, religion. Different people may have different understandings. They need to be clearly defined. There's a lot of work to do on the intellectual level. Yeah.
So in that sense, it sounds very much as if the country we are born in has a certain
consciousness. Yeah, very good point. The country that we're born in and the culture that goes with it very much affects our consciousness. Very important point. That's why birth in India is supposed to be more pious, because one is exposed from the beginning to this culture. It's not by chance that we're born in different cultures. That's one of my points that I'll bring to a Christian. Also, if you say, well, it's only through Christianity that you can be saved. Well, what about someone who's born prior to the Christian invasion of Laos? You all heard of Laos? It's a country northeast of Thailand. Landlocked country, which was Buddhist for years and then became communist, and now the Christians have gone wild over there and they're converting everyone left, right and center. But people who are born in Laos, it's a very isolated country, and people have never heard of Jesus. And even if they did hear of Jesus, because of their cultural conditioning, they wouldn't have any inclination to take to that. So what does that mean? That God creates all these beings just to chuck them into hell forever? He likes the Irish better because St. Patrick came over here and converted them all from pagans and made them into... Of course, the Protestants, they don't like St. Patrick because he made them all Catholics. But does God like the Irish better? He wants the Irish to go to heaven. What's heaven? Heaven's like a town in the Republic of Ireland where every other house is a bar. When you go to heaven, there's just one unending pub crawl. Is that it? Well, maybe if the Laotian did go to heaven, maybe he'd have a different idea of heaven. He prefers just to sit around and eat roasted pigs. That's his idea of heaven. So, yes, the culture that we're born into very much affects our consciousness. And we are born in that also because of our previous desires and activities. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. There's one verse, there's so much understanding then that we're placed in some particular situation within the material mass in a particular time, and we experience the modes which are prevalent in that particular situation. There's so much in Bhagavad Gita. It's certainly much more developed than this, than simply don't covet others' wives, and it goes a lot beyond that. What's that? Who can say the Ten Commandments? Number one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. Number two, love. Thou shalt not put false gods before me. Number three? Holy days? Is there such a thing in Ten Commandments? One should observe the Sabbath. Right. Whether it be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. In Christianity, it's Sunday. In Judaism, it's Saturday. And in Islam, it's Friday. Although they don't... Yeah. And if you do any work on that day, then you go to hell. Be careful. Don't wash any dishes on the Sabbath day. That's why the Jews all had to, they were living in Western countries, they all had to have Christian servants. Otherwise, it was very difficult for them to do anything. They couldn't cook or anything. They had Christian servants. And sometimes the Christian servants took away their children and got them baptized because they didn't want them to go to hell. Because unless you get that water poured on your head, then you go to hell, right? So, it's silly ideas. So, what were you saying? Oh yeah, three. And number three is to observe the Sabbath. Is not number three? Anyone? I know that you should not covet another man's wife. You should not bear false witness. Is that one of them? You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. should obey your parents. One should honor your father and mother. Okay, we're doing pretty good. We got about 6 or 7 of them. Shouldn't covet your neighbor's goods. Does that come under stealing? Does it? I don't know.
Hmm? It's more like being envious and grasping for something that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, not to covet, we say in the standard English translation. It's probably from the King James Bible. That word is used, to covet. A word that's not used otherwise in any, it's otherwise it's a completely archaic word, right? To covet something. Okay, well, we didn't remember the Ten Commandments. Yes, Srila Prabhupada said that there, that when he was asked, is it better to be a Christian who believes in one God or to be, specifically he was asked, or to worship Kali, which is pretty low down in the scale of demigod worship. Because Kali is worshipped by animal sacrifice, lots of blood on Kali Puja. And many Kali worshippers are tantrics who they have skulls and they do all kinds of, they invoke all kinds of low spirits. The Prabhupada said it's better to be a Kali worshipper because you're within the Vedic culture. So, practically we see that even Kali worshippers within the Vedic culture, they're more likely to honor Krishna than is a Christian. Although there are Christians also who have been very open to and appreciative of Vaishnavas in the scholarly world. That Professor Basham from Australia, he was very appreciative. And then Harvey Cox was also very appreciative. He visited Vrindavan. And he was impressed at the level of God consciousness of people, and he likened the devotees at that time to what he thought the early Christians might have been like in their idealism. And then there's this Larry Shin, Thomas Hopkins, they're all Christian scholars who have been very appreciative of devotees, although that Thomas Hopkins, yeah, he was a liberal-minded person, you could say. Larry Shin, I believe he's actually a minister, Protestant minister. He's a university professor also. So, I mean, people who are not bigoted, they will appreciate. And another thing also, that we may be very critical of Christians, but then of the failings of Christians, but we shouldn't think that, we shouldn't adopt the same kind of attitude that we criticize in them. Just say, well, because we're Christians, we're saved. We shouldn't just think, well, because we're in ISKCON, we're saved. And you know, we can have all kinds of practices and beliefs which are not pure Vaishnavism. If we also encourage materialism and hypocrisy and say, well, we're superior just because we have a sign on the door, ISKCON, and we say Jai Prabhupada when we remember to, then we're superior. But that's not true. We shouldn't think that. We should think that we're very fortunate to have come to Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't think that we're perfect just by doing so. Or even that a Vaishnava attitude is not to think that we're better than others. So we can appreciate that this path is better than others. Otherwise, why should we follow it? But we shouldn't think that we're perfect just because we're on this path, or that our movement is... It would be very foolish, considering the short history of our movement, all many of the things that have happened in it, to think that we are we are automatically pure. That would be extremely foolish. Considering that we have seen in our movement so many things which we couldn't have imagined when we joined it. Things which are very distressing even to think about, but if it's distressing for us to think about it, imagine what it was like for those who actually had to suffer in the name of Krishna and Prabhupada. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Vasudev Datta, of whom Srila Prabhupada is the perfect representative, most merciful Vaishnava. Hare Krishna.